Let's pray. There's too many gods that are greater. Jesus taught us to pray. He said, we're to come to you as our Father. Not as an earthly father with frailty, and not as an earthly father with the attributes of a human, but a perfect Father. Holy Father, a Father that encompasses all the characteristics without sin, with completely set apart from us, and yet you're a Father, you're a perfect Father. And we all know or want to know or long to know. Some of us had the privilege of having good fathers that have taught us your character on some level. But thank you for that, that we can come to you. We, I don't know if there's any greater privilege than sitting here as your children, your sons and daughters, to be taught by our dad. Because you love us, because you want to teach us, because you want us to grow. So that's what we look forward to. And I thank you that there's only one reason we can do that. I thank you for fulfilling that, and Jesus. So I thank you that we can come to you on the basis of His righteousness and His goodness. Amen. Back to 1 John. Has anybody... That's cute, huh? Levi threw my good one away, I think. So I hope not. I think so. He's had a guilty look immediately on his face. When I so just how you, there's always some reason. Yeah. So have anybody kept up on reading 1 John? Has anybody done it? Yeah? Go girl. You know, I love you, Heather, you know. I heard there was here at, you know, at 9:30 when we're supposed to be here and everybody is kind of, and I heard Heather finally spoke the truth. That's the issue, so quit it. I thought, go girl. Go girl. So, well, you know, at least we know why. So, it's a good thing and how we can correct. So. Yeah. Huh? I heard that the frigid air or something, you know, doing on it. So. I know, I can tell you this, that I don't think I've ever had a time, you know, personally, I don't think I've ever had a time of my going, spending daily trying to figure out reading in 1 John. So that's exciting for me in realizing that the enemy doesn't want it, that God does, but on the other hand, it's a fight, I have to say, you know. I made a bold statement a month or so ago that, you know, you read it every day, your life will be changed, you'll be a different person doing it, because the truth of this intimate, close friend, Jesus, that walked with him for, I don't know how long by this time he wrote this, 60 years? Maybe 80 years, somewhere. I mean, John, when he 3 years intimately with Jesus, daily for 3 years, it appears, and then he spent the next 60 year plus walking with him on an intimate level also. And here he is at this point sharing with us of the Father. So it's a pretty important perspective, for man. I'm muddled in theology and in doctrine and dogma and things. This is first-hand account of somebody who walked with Jesus and what it looks like and what Jesus' heart is and was. He knows it, so we should pay attention. And I think the enemy, I know, as a body of believers, as the body of Christ, God said that He is going to leave us here to corporately, to together represent the body of Christ, the person of Jesus Christ on this earth, as our arms, hands. We come together as different parts of the body, and corporately we represent the character and nature of Jesus. This is the straight up description of what that looks like and what it doesn't look like. And I know the enemy doesn't want us to hear it. So I just encourage you guys to fight the fight and read it. Spend time there. I can guarantee it will be worth it. We need to reorient. Reorient our thinking. So, you know, the where we're at today is chapter 2, the first 11 verses. Children, you that you know, and if anyone make it with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and He Himself, the world, His commandments. I've come to know Him and doesn't. In Him, the love of God. We know that we are in Him. Says He abides in the manner as He walked, as Jesus walked. Beloved, I am not writing a new commandment to you, but an old commandment which you have had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which you have heard. On the other hand, I am writing. This is passing away, and the truth is already shining. The one who says he is in the light and yet hates his brother is in darkness until now. The one who loves his brother abides in the light, and there is no cause for stumbling in him. But the one who hates his brother is in darkness and does not know where he is going because of his eyes. That's a pretty powerful John is not mad or angry at somebody, but John is saying some very, very strong words here. It's sweet that he starts out, and I think it's important. Form of endearment, you know. I think that it's, I think that's an important. Also in relational, you know, I think that you guys know me, and you know how fondly I think of flattery. You know, I hate false flattery. Okay, you know, I call it, refer to it right now about smoke and think, you know, something, but. The truth is that we need to relate in love towards each other. And when it comes to your children, I think it's really important too. You know, when we're trying to, doing here, I mean, he's setting the record straight. He's speaking very severely. Do that. You know, if I can tell you this, if we start off with our children go, "You shouldn't have done that!" Probably going to go, boop, shut down. Boop, 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 boop. All the computer inside is going to go, boop. He's calling, you know, sinners, liars, you know, and damned for hell. It's a pretty thing he's putting out there, and yet, how did he preface that? And I think it's really important. No, I wouldn't say. Probably spouses in doing that. When there's communication, when even reproof and correction, wife, you know, do we start saying, I think it's really important to start off a preface of going, okay, I'm here, Mom, and I love you. I care about your life now. You know, clean your room, or you need to do this. I fairly spoken here, but in the it falls flatter, but I'm going to address you. You need to understand this, you know. Jordan, standards, you know, he's 60 to 80, might be 90 years old. His 90s. That probably gives him fair ground to call most people his little children. Because his little children, okay. It's important for us to realize that when we address, we come from a place, I think it's a really good check for us, right? Coming from, what is this about? What about you? And, you know, I'm in the process reorient this myself with my own wife, you know. You know, my wife, I wouldn't say she's hard-headed. But she'd admit it. So, but unfortunately, we, you know, developed some bad habits where some, listen, okay? It's almost, okay? Sinful way. And to have I love you. You know, I can't. Oh. Just kind of like your kids, you know, doing it, you know. So here we are. And now going to be some training and reproof. So here, one thing that's really important about John, really projecting a father's heart. We have the pursuit of God to eat. Different gods, false gods, not the gods of the Bible. And this is the one who presents himself as a father. Okay? That's a big deal. About walking in intimate, the relationship is the living God, but it is about walking with your Father. It's about going through life with your Father. And we always need to keep that in check, okay? And I think it's absolutely critical. He says, I'm writing these things to you that you may not sin. We're given the freedom not to sin. We're given we're set apart. You know, we can be born again. And I hope that in this room, and you submit to the Father, come into relationship with the Father, the relationship with God. Submitting to his love. We always remember that God's love towards us is not based on our performance. Okay? His proof and his correction, his love is in how we're responding and how we're acting. But his love is not. We cannot earn his love by our works. God loves us absolutely and unconditionally. Whether we're good or we're bad, we're still sinners. Christ died for us. It's a big deal. Please, he'll love us. That puts the context, and we all say in evangelical, we're not works-based, you know. But there's a big difference, and to me, one of the most important things you can get First John is this about lip service or is this about lifestyle? Okay, because what a right relationship with God looks like, right? We'd be pretty good about saying the right things. My works, my salvation is not based on my works, it's only based on the grace of God. But is that our lifestyle? Is that really how we live? Lip service, honestly, is pretty easy. I mean, we need to time to accumulate the right words and accumulate the right... Lifestyle is tough. First John is pretty evident. It is about lifestyle. Okay? And do we function, when we function, do we function who we are? So, as Christians, we don't work for our identity. We need to or your identity. The difference is, in Christianity, we are to work from our identity. Okay? There's a big difference. What does that mean? That acknowledge God as not only my Father, and we have a weakness in that, careful, because most of us were disrespectful to our fathers. Most of our fathers weren't all that respectable. Acted in selfishness. Didn't let's just be clear about that on some level, okay? Because we're humans, okay? We couldn't trust them. It's amazing how dads, I mean, you see it often, even doing that, is how sons, I mean, some of the greatest achievers, right? Some of the greatest achievers. Most athletes, I mean, this is a big, listen to them. Who do they think? Sometime. Who do they think? Mom? Why? And why do they excel so hard? Because I want to please my dad. I want to prove to my dad that I was human flesh. That I'm going to excel. I'm going to go after it so hard to tell my dad I was worthy to be loved. Divorce always causes that. You know? There is no way in I know. No way you can. I did this because it was best for you. Right? There's not a kid on the face of the earth that doesn't go, you're a liar. You did it because it was best for you. You did it because it's what made you happy, because it's what fulfilled you. You didn't love me. Me. Most humans spend the rest of their life trying to prove that it wasn't their fault, am I worth my parents sticking, not worth sticking together for? I mean, it's an amazing thing that, you know, when we were kids, so often when divorce started becoming more and more common, you know, and we're living in this hippie age, you know, and we want to say, oh, our kids just want us to be happy doing it. And we often say, well, our kids marriage because we're both selfish and we've messed our marriage up pretty good. We're not happy in marriage, so our kids would just want us to be happy. Our kids, and you say, well, kids are a good reason to stay married. I mean, that was a common statement that we heard, right? Got a better one? I don't know too many better reasons to stay married. Okay? You say, well, that's not fun. Yeah, okay. Well, that's not, doesn't mean, well, doing it God's way always benefits us. Absolutely legitimate. Not illegitimate. Their souls are at stake. You know? Did I have the value that my dad loved me more than himself? That my mom loved me more than herself? To be loved. And most people, in the process, after divorce, difficult. Most people don't get past that. Most people don't get past and become healed in that. They spend the rest of their life trying to prove that it's worthy for you to stay together for, to fight for, you know. I mean, yeah, you look at it and say, you know, well, you wouldn't want us fighting all the time, would you? No, I'd want you to be not so selfish as a kid. I'd want you to not... about moms and mine and other people's happiness. Or about dads and whatever. It goes both ways. Divorce, the enemy knows that. That's why he's so hard. We accept it in church. We accept it in church, out of church. We accept it. Will relationship with God the Father. Divorce will be the straw that breaks the camel's back because they will never trust a father because fathers aren't trustable. So, God represents himself there. From start to back, he represents himself as a father in this book. And a father loves his child. Now we're all selfish, but the true love of a father is whether their child is obedient. The love of my child does not change. My actions will change in response, but I love this child absolutely. It's not they have to prove their love to me or make them act worthy. I mean, I've seen dads act like that, right? Well, you just need to prove yourself. You just need to prove yourself. And they do it to sons, thinking they're going to make their sons tough. You know, kind of like a boy named Sue or something, you know. I'm going to name you Sue, and then you need to, you know. You know the song, but, you know, it's somewhat appropriate. Anything but Sue, yeah. You know, why did you do this to me? Why did you reject me? Why did you do this to me? Well, because you grew up tough, you know. And hard-hearted and, you know, without any hope of trusting God the Father probably in your life because you misrepresented him to God. Remember that. As Christians, we don't work for our identity as sons and daughters of God. We're to work from our identity. If I am born again, let's talk about this. If you're born again, if you're the king, you're the king. That's what should motivate you. He loves you unconditionally. Doesn't mean he's okay with you being a little brat. Doesn't mean he's okay living in sin and willfully being rebellious. But he loves you unconditionally. We do not have to earn his love. He says that. While you were yet sinners, while you were still rebellious, he paid the way. We don't understand because the character of God is something that's so vague to us. You know, we have this thought process, right? I mean, it's just subjective, right? I mean, it's relative. We can make God who we want. And most people create a God to worship in an image. In an image that serves them. In an image that works for them. That's why at the end of this book he says, my little children, be very careful of idolatry. That's how he ends his book, right? I just told you who the true God is. I just told you who Jesus is. I just told you what Jesus' heart is. And I know. Because I walked with him, and I've walked with him for a long time. It doesn't look like this. Well, because if it doesn't look like this, what I'm going to tell you, this book, that's idolatry. It's something different than who God, the true and living God, is. It's not a sin. Sin, because I think that's the point. My little children, I'm writing things to you. Sin. I think there is an important distinction to understand what is sin. Because unfortunately, what we end up doing is up sin as we see it socially or as we see it culturally. Okay. And we tend to find sin. I would have to say that one of the greatest to try to what did I believe about God? God, part of his culture, what the Bible really says, okay? You know, unfortunately, too much time trying to Americans gospel. And there is nothing okay? I'm saying that we are in a country that God has blessed and we should function. Faith has blessed us with in the rest of the world. God doesn't care what color you are or what country you're in. His children are his children. And, you know, although I would wear one of those shirts, you know. I mean, there's cultural differences in what we are, okay? And that's okay. You know, that isn't sin one way or the other. Prayer. I mean, my mother-in-law is always by the fact that I don't say in Jesus' name, amen. Come on! God didn't hear your prayer then. Because you didn't say in Jesus' name, amen. On the end of it. That's how we're supposed to end a prayer. It says we're supposed to come to relate God on the basis of what Jesus. That's true. But that isn't a cute little thing we add on the end of a prayer. And yet we take it, ooh, that's holiness, or that isn't holiness. We lose our feelings about this stuff, right? Years telling me, that really become the pastor, didn't it? Okay? Killing each other. Thousands of people murdered the name of God. Over the fact of only allowed to put it in your mouth because you stink peons might drop it on the ground. Stink. Have those things in our culture? Absolutely. You know? When we were growing up, those things were from the devil. Right? And now they're on the stage of every church. It's changed that. I mean, drums. Mm-mm. They forgot to read the Old Testament about playing drums and stuff. But electric guitar, that was level. Now, some electric guitar, I would have to say, point I'm trying to make. He says that I'm writing these things to you that you may not sin. Right? Just sin. And how do we define sin? You know, a couple of things. A few that are against not cultural church. We say is wrong, you know, where we are standing in culture. Really important to see yourself from that. Where to be in the culture. Paul says when in Rome, be as the Romans, you know. I mean, there are some places where you pompous rich. Anyone, you know, I don't know, would be, you know, maybe if I was living in Calcutta or something, you know, that would seem wrong. It's pretty important to have a suburban here, right? If I just said, no, I'm going to be home walking, you'd say, David. We need to separate those things on what does the Word of God says is one against the Word of God. What if the Word consistent from whether we're talking about a word here is propitiation, right? I bet that's never your mouth, right? And good, I'm glad, because I don't want you talking like that, okay? But propitiation is used, but it's everything, okay? It's everything to us, propitiation, okay? It's never propitiation. Always. Whether it was Cain and Abel, And Abel came and sacrificed one of his sheep. It was the only way he could please God. Through death and spilling of blood. Was it figurative? Was it the blood of rams or blood of sheep that to the true fulfilling propitiation, Jesus? Okay? Always. It's always been that way. It hasn't changed. All the temple stuff, right? The whole unbelievable thing. I mean, to me, that's been a pretty vivid picture when we talked about it. There, and they got this giant new temple, and thousands of them up there, probably. Thousands up there, and that are holding it up and put a pan there and they hold it down, and I'm sure. But what do you think they look like? You know? Thousands of them. You know, blood. The blood flowed so. And the brook hid. That's satisfying for our sin. It's been the case in doing it. Sin, things that come against the will of God, things that come against the will of God, okay? In the will of God. The things that are not what He wants us to say, do. Again, it's amazing to me. I mean, I grew up in a theologically and doctrinally perfect church. She would never say a certain word if you had a mouthful of it, right? They would never say that word, right? And yet you would hate your brother. And yet you would hate your brother. Hate your brother. What does it mean, hate your brother? No. We have learned ways, okay? Be very careful about this. Love, okay? So be very careful about this. We've learned great ways as churchmen to act like we love everybody. Okay? Don't hate anybody, right? That's what we'd say when we walk through the door. Say, everybody's, I don't hate anybody. I'm a nice guy. I like everybody doing it. That has nothing to do with what he's talking about here. Love and hate, what he's talking about here, determined by others, by the is your life not your own? You're a servant of the king, and your brothers and sisters are more important than yourself. That's what he says. That is the commandment. Love God. Sisters, you girls get to be included in that too. So, something, yeah. You get to be included. Okay, not you get to be. Honor. Okay. You guys are probably easier to love sometimes. It has nothing to do with being a nice guy and saying I like everybody and I don't hate anybody. Okay, it has to do with is what our life's about. Is our life about pouring out and caring about other people more than ourselves? And it says you're a liar. Pretty big statement. Sins are things that are also the way of God. They're things that are against the word of God. They're things that are against the will of God. And they're things that are the way of God. Walked. Okay? He was pretty purposeful in coming up with these stinking Anglo-Saxon hippie pictures of Jesus. Okay? That we put on our walls. And he looks like a passive, pathetic hippie. Okay? Walking around. Okay? And you know, I grew up in the, 60s, 70s, where hippies were cool. My hair was probably a little longer than, right? For sure, on doing it, okay? And that's true. But nothing about Jesus was a passive, pathetic white guy. Okay? It's not him on doing it. How did he walk? And do we spend time? Have you spent time? Saints him and caused him to go look for what was Jesus like? How did he respond to people? How did he react to people? Right? What did he do? Who was he? Well, that's some pretty good first hand accounts, including this guy John. He wrote another gospel that's another one by Matthew, we have another one by Mark, Luke, you know, that give us this picture of Jesus and how he walked. And it's very easy for us to, you know, put it on some distant non. We need to walk as he walked. It says this, okay? In fact, it says, what we want that you have a right relationship with God, that you abide in God by your service. He says, that's how we act. That's what we teach. Is we say the prayer, okay? Come on, just say the prayer. Do it. Come on, please. Just say it. See Jesus coming to me. Okay, good. You're good. You're saved. Okay? We're very good at producing and wanting to produce. What's he say? He says, the one who says he abides in him ought himself to walk in the same manner as he. Character and nature of Jesus, he gives us a lot of information, canned information, about how he responded to people, how he responded to religion, how he responded to tough-talk, how he responded to hard-hearted, how he responded to the, you know, there's very, very much information we should know. So sin is if we walked or how Jesus would have walked. You know, there used to be a deal, those little bracelets and stuff doing it. And there's a side of me that almost like, you know, WWJD, you know, I think. Okay. I want that to be a very important, that's a good check in my own life. You know? I mean, not in a cutesy way, you know, that I don't have a fish in my pocket. Reality is when I'm how would Jesus react to this? Yeah. I punch him in the nose, okay? I'm alright with it. He the time passing the cat of nine tails. A real whip. A whole giant. That was more than a punch in the nose, okay? So, what would Jesus do? That should always be a check in my soul and in my life. How would he respond to this person? This past them? How would he respond? You know? And it's important because oftentimes I find, right? Knowing in, you know, what I know about Jesus, what would he do? He would love the soul of that person. He would care about that person. People that I don't know their names of that are driving in other cars and I tend to respond to, you know? I need that now in my, how would Jesus see their soul? Work in process, I hope. You know? No. Slow to root out that. My drive and how they endanger my wife and my family and the victims of humanity, how they deserve. I'm trying to respond to them with how Jesus would respond to them, because that is the check, you know? So sins are things in because God is our Father, okay? And as a Father, how do you do? When I don't know how old I'd say, you know, is sitting at the table and pushes his plate a little bit and it hits his water and his water spills over, okay? Now, if you told them to not put water on the edge of the table, you instructed them and they knew this and understood it, then there might be some level of unwillingness to submit to the authority. But the Father respond to that. There's a difference in how we respond to the training and the mistakes, because we learn through our mistakes, right? We all make mistakes. We all stumble. Don't misinterpret mistakes and sin. Okay? That's a big problem in our culture. Jesus died for my sin. Okay? In doing it. So, unfortunately, in religion, we began to put mistakes in the same category as sin in our striving to be perfect. In our striving to be, I don't make mistakes. I don't do things wrong. I don't. He gave me disapproval from people. To put mistakes in the same category, that's false. That's wrong. Okay? It is not wrong to make, to try to change, you know? Spills his milk every night. Right? Maybe it's that they're not ready for a glass and they need a sippy cup that won't spill. Still too little. My fault as a father for giving them an open glass of milk, okay? But if they're old enough to not pay attention, obey, and they finally get to the point. We always have to look at our life And God, understand something very clearly, because we aren't going to get to it, but the word propitiation, Jesus was the satisfaction for our sin. Not going to punish us for our sins. Did you hear that? God, not He punished. We have this innate human desire to pay for our sins. You know? To want to be a masochist, to want to do something that pays. Okay? You can do nothing good by not doing it. It doesn't matter. You can do nothing to pay for it. God put the... And part of the problem is, where we get into trouble here, it, propitiation doesn't make any sense. Coming from a human father, the Father, okay? God has one response to sin. No, very absolute response towards sin. I think that in the New Testament, God got old and quit being angry anymore. Right? He was young then and kind of full of life. People dead and did the out of you guys, and I'm gonna burn up. You know, because he was this impetuous 30-year-old, you know, something. Right? Sitting back in his rocking chair, and he can't see very well. Now he's a lot more. Oh, my kids, I just let them get away with it and spoil them. Right? That is not God. And He's not changed. Okay? The wrath of God is still the wrath of God. And the wrath of God is maybe one of the characteristics of God in the Bible. Over 600 times. Various 20 words of wrath of God are used. The holiness of God, the wrath of God, are two absolute. They never have changed, never will change. And we need to understand this. God is not. Be careful to think we don't. Because we very easily buy in this concept of. Anybody who is. A loving, caring person is tolerant, right? I mean, it's a big deal in our culture right now, right? I mean, you can't speak against homosexuality, speak against, you know, divorce, speak against abortion. You can't say God is not tolerant. Any way, shape, or form, God is not tolerant, okay? The wrath of God is absolute. Absolute. And that is His only response towards. I hope I'm clear. Or something. But I hope I'm clear on that, okay? The wrath of God is always response towards sin. Perfectly. Perfectly and absolutely. Where does that put us? What does that mean? There's only two ways. We will. If you're not truly a Christian, you are just living in the patient part, the long-suffering part of God, but you will face His wrath. On your own. Okay? Or, you can stand behind the propitiation, the satisfaction. Propitiation means satisfaction. fulfillment of. The satisfaction of God's wrath was put on. Jesus was on the cross. Down on him. His statement was, God, why have you forsaken me? I've said it before, that that Jesus Sanhedrin, and at the hands of the Roman soldiers doing it, that the pain and the suffering was torture. I'm still convinced the thing that he dreaded most, and where he said, God, please do it, was it when he took on the Jesus for our sins. His dad, and he'd never known that. Jesus had never known what that looks like. He'd never felt that. He was terrified and did not want that, and knew that was the penalty. There was no other choice. God was sin. The issue here is, without understanding, we can't turn this down. Doesn't really matter. Not true. He killed Jesus and put his absolute wrath, the perfect, complete, terrifying wrath on Jesus. The same wrath that flooded everyone in the world. Brimstone came down from heaven and fried Sodom and Gomorrah because of their sin. The same wrath. Response towards sin. So we either stand in the place as our is the satisfaction for that, or we will bear the wrath of God. There's only two choices in this world. We talk about there's no thing as do-overs. Hopefully, when we get to God, he's going to look and measure and go, you made it across. You're good. You're most of these people. And I got it, I don't know where I'm going to grade on a curve here, but I'm going to grade on a height because I can't be, I got to grade. No, God is not going to grade on a curve. His wrath is perfect, okay? Propitiation is the most important person know that we need to. I don't know that that word will ever become standard fare in my language, but maybe it should, because there is always that necessity, not of dumbing God down in why I'm not struck dead for my sin. Necessity of me recognizing, and he says, the beginning, fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. Right? The love of God draws men to repentance. Right? Draws. That doesn't mean you're smart yet, or very wise. Okay? But the love of God draws men. God reaches out and draws all men. Understanding that God cannot tolerate sin. One response, and that's the full fury and wrath of God towards sin. We don't talk about sin in our culture. Sin in our culture. We don't. That's sinful. Well, then I'm a person. because I'm not nicer. When I'm not nice, I'm a selfish man, okay? And I'm wrong. But being nice is not, not being nice is not necessarily Jesus. Okay? Because he's not very nice. Right? He says your father was a very nice at all. Jesus was not nice. These ideas about we have to realize, every one of us has to realize that I am utterly, eternally damned outside of Jesus. And if I don't understand God's and his response towards sin, I don't really need a Savior. It's nice to have them in my back pocket in case it, you know. I mean, you paid for it already, right? It's already paid for. It's already done. It doesn't matter anymore, right? So, pay for it. I don't sin, right? That's not a correct perspective. You need to live still in the fear of the... fear of God not loving me. Never. God will always love me. He will be in connection with absolute wrath. God is perfect. God's absolute wrath, absolute love, his absolute law, absolute patience, are all absolutely true. Okay? All those things are true in it. But if it does not bring me, leave me in a state of extreme gratitude that God allows me to be a forgiven, redeemed son because of Jesus. Because of my good, not because I want to add this to my life, but because of what Jesus did. That's the only hope. It's what Jesus did. And Jesus, it's all about Jesus. Since the beginning, I am writing, we have a what? Father. Jesus. Say, David. Because I deserve to die on thousands of counts. Deserve to die. And Jesus says, I died instead. He died for me instead. That my Father so much that he killed Jesus in my relationship with me. That's what should get me out of bed. That's what should move me. That should make my desire please him. Not lip service, but in my life. Propitiation. Holy. Okay? And we are sinful. We need to understand that God hates sin. Hates sin. Still did always, always has, hates sin. That our sin, okay? And that's it. Times. Just that of God. That's a way to see God's wrath. God. All right, I know you've been pretty good. You get a pass. You get a hall pass. Okay? You've been pretty good for a while. I've been really good at my diet, so I deserve some chocolate, you know. I deserve some ice cream, you know. I deserve some sin. So I've been being really good. I'm doing this. That's it. That is completely losing sight of who God is. Jesus is the only satisfaction for the wrath. The reason that we are not struck and rebellious to God is because His patience is long. And His patience is great. And He wishes that no man would perish. If we continue in that state, see, it isn't a matter of... It isn't a matter of... Okay? There is one thing that is absolute. If you abide in Jesus, if you are walking with Jesus, it will have an effect on your life. It will change your life. So if there is not progress, you better go, whoa. If there is still remains bondage, side of you, but it's wonderful. Good news. Free. Whatever. My mother-in-law. This is a very common perception of questioning anything in her belief system about God, right? Why? Because I've worked all these years. I've done all this work. He's got it written down. All the people that I was part of their salvation. All the people that I've done all these works for. Question anything here because that's a lot, man. I got all that stack of collateral. So I'm not going to check in. I can't imagine a hopeless state to be in. You know? That wood, hay, and stubble. That's going to burn. What matters? God is God. To acknowledge Him as God. It's not just a matter of being submissive to our Father, to the authority of our Father, under the authority of our Father. Am I willing to relinquish rights as a child, as a human? God. You know, we have that one song, you know, Our Father. I wonder, you know, how long before they won't let us sing that in church or something? Because it's talking about slavery in some of the verses, you know? No more iron shackles on my feet. Away. And I was thinking about we're singing it, you know? And slavery... Bad slave masters, okay? It's one of the words that is... the most horrendous... ever is slavery, okay? The Bible doesn't see it that way. Oh, man, you're going to... Okay? The Bible doesn't see it that way. Of a... owner of my life. With all the resources to do everything, that's a wondrous place to be. And it was true of a lot of slaves. So not seen as that. Your condition is... responded to you. Okay? This perception in America that because we are selfish, egocentric, do. I have the right to manifest destiny, right? I have the right to happiness. I want to no one tell me what to do. Is that true? If we're Christians, not even true if we're not Christians, you're just deceived. Because you're going to serve somebody, you know? You need to find that one by Bobby. I mean, God used him for a short period of time, and that was a powerful song that rings my ears all the time. You're going to serve somebody. It might be the devil, or it might be the Lord, but you're going to serve somebody. We are going to serve. There is no freedom to do whatever I want to do. Eternal, in the full force of the wrath of God, or we are servants. Wondrous thing. Identity that says, oh, try to get out. I'll check in on you, see how you're doing. This is the most profound thing is absolute perfect in that once that relationship with us. Matter that we're working around in the life, trying to look at us. Listen, you'll know, be, you know, maybe God'll happen. The relationship, perception of the relationship, you don't have one. I'll walk with you. Let me walk. And is a terrible his son. Looking, in our place. That should be something that gives us this sense of value. Just to have with him. But it will produce in our lives. Right? And what will it produce? John said, he said, beloved, I'm making a new commandment. Let me go back. The one who says, I have come to know him, because again, believe that the vow, which is lip service, but they have nothing to do with their lifestyle. They have a religious lifestyle. You know? I mean, there's a side of that song that says, no more iron shackles. I understand that. Turn a slave. Hey! Slave, serve your master. And be about it. Had our civil war. I'm glad that there was men who were listening to God at that time, doing what men needed to do. There were evil slave owners. There was an evil slave trade, you know. And it wasn't just white and black. The worst were the blacks on blacks. The worst were the Africans against Africans. They lived in slavery. Enslaved tribes, enslaved. We want to dominate, control, and doing that. It was an ugly side of it that was, and we should end it. But the truth is that now to be a bondservant, a slave of the Most High God, my life's not my own. I've been bought with a price. Bought with a price. The propitiation, the satisfaction, the blood of Jesus. My life's not my own anymore. I recognize you. I am submissive to God as okay. Commandments is a liar. It's his word in him, the Lord of God. Saved. one of them, like I said, there's a bunch. By this we know. But the Bible says. This is changing a new commandment to you. Same way. Darkness. Right? His brother? In this case, we're not talking about the world, I don't believe. We're talking about sons and daughters of the brothers and sisters. Whoever, who are, that is doubt. Okay? I believe it is faith. The Messiah. He's the living God. He is God. Step. I'm going to take it as a suggestion or it, an absolute commandment when he says something by the just about believing in history. The cross so that I could, okay? He is part of the Trinity, part of the true Son of the true living God. What he says matters. Do I, because believing in Jesus, submission. And I respond to him. And, I don't believe in Jesus. Different Jesus. One that really isn't that he was. Well, are you submissive to what God's calling? Or are you in rebellion? What does belonging mean? Because he said it earlier, says, right? He says, if we say we have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. In chapter 1, he says, but if we walk in the light, as he himself is in the light, we commit fellowship with the brothers and sisters. Period. Is a mark of a Christian, okay? It isn't happening if you're it will be a mark, okay? Determined by is determined by his brother abides in the light. No cause for stumbling. Who regards his brother is in the dark, walks in darkness, and does not know where he is. Not your lip service. Description of our lifestyle. By who Jesus said he was, and by what Jesus called me to. It says the one who loves him will keep his command. Or do we just want to work up and feel good? I want to feel good about my relationship with God. Christianity, quote, that way, right? I want to feel good about my relationship with God. Sorry, wrong guy to lead. I'm not the charismatic dude who's going to... about you, and I will lay my life down for you. So, this is the beginning. We need to. Little kid, bratty kid. Never heard of my sin. I thank you that that's that not only you love me, but you, everyone in this room, that sin. That way. Have that relationship and have been lied to and confused about what that looks like. God, please help us. Help us to speak truth. Help us to live truth. Help us to love on each other. Please continue to, most of all, and for all of us, because we all need it, otherwise we would continue to teach us. The wrath of God in our place. Because of that, we are damned, literally. Amen.